the way, curious, you know, at this point, now that we're into the month of June, before we know it, it'll be midway in July, SEC Media Days, and then things get all of a sudden start getting really serious as we head into week one of the college football season. What's your preparation schedule like as far as when you're getting to know all of these SEC teams?
I think now it's really just more to learn the teams, learn the personnel, go back and find guys that maybe played limited snaps a year ago, were either backups or played in some sort of a fill-in role, nor necessarily starters, and try to get an idea of what they're going to be like. I try to have conversation with coaches and players and guys who have been around other teams, maybe cover other teams in a different way than I did, to just familiarize myself. Once my schedule's solidified, I'll start dialing in on the teams that I'm going to have the first few weeks of the season. I'll sort of look past, you know, preparing for the entire league and really focusing in on them, trying to get an idea what some of my predictions are going to look like, because they're destined to be wrong anyway. So I guess it doesn't really matter.
Well, join the crowd. Usually when folks are picking at SEC Media Days, they're wrong anyway. So that's all right. But look, I don't know necessarily if you're wrong. I just think that there's always these nice surprise stories year in, year out that take everybody by surprise.
And I think we have a chance to have a few of those this year in the SEC. Take, for example, Vanderbilt. I don't know if the schedule is really going to allow them to be a 9 or a 10-win team, but I really like Riley Neal. I think the specialty positions are going to be solid. You have one of the better tight ends in all college football, one of the leading receivers in school history, Keyshawn Vaughn, excellent at tailback. I think you have a chance offensively to be pretty good, and they're getting away from Andy Ludwig's offense, which was, as you know, you've covered them, a lot of motion, a lot of shifting, run the play clock, huddle up, and they're going to go a little bit faster. They're going to spread things out a little bit, which I think for the personnel that Vanderbilt can realistically bring in, it's probably better for them. I think Missouri has a chance to be the surprise team in the SEC, maybe be the Kentucky of last year.
I can see that. I can absolutely see that.
You hope they get their bowl eligibility back. I believe that they should. But you look at that schedule, and it is well beyond manageable. They got West Virginia on the schedule, which is going to be a game. If they can win that game, it's going to look really good. I mean, that's a bit of a helmet game for them, even though West Virginia's not going to be anything near what they were last year, losing David Sills, losing Jennings, losing Will Grier, and obviously new head coach Neil Brown. But it'll be a really nice win for them. They get Wyoming. I think another decent win. I mean, it's better than playing a directional school. And then I think you look at what they draw from the West. I think they get Mississippi State and Arkansas, so very manageable, as I think Mississippi State takes a little bit of a step back this year. With Kelly Bryant at quarterback, Roundtree back at tailback, Knox out at wide receiver, a year under his belt there, Albert O at tight end. I think they probably have the third best offensive line in the league going into the season behind Georgia and Alabama. If they can get any sort of improvement defensively, I think they could put together 9 or 10 wins this year and surprise some folks. So that's sort of a team that I think could surprise. And then I think you sort of take your pick. One of the three schools behind Alabama in the West has a real chance to extend. LSU kind of did it last year, but I think LSU, A&M, or Auburn have a chance to sort of be a surprise team that can win 10 or 11, maybe even be in the divisional race late in the year. Obviously, if you're Auburn, you just kind of hope that you get into that Georgia-Alabama stretch where you have a chance to win the division. Whether you need to win one or both, or you need to win both and get some help, you just kind of hope that you're in that spot. And I think Auburn has a chance to do it with that defense and the experience on the offensive line and the skill they have at receiver. It'll depend a lot on quarterback. I think LSU filling some of the holes on defense, Joe Burrow taking a step and maybe finding an every down back in the backfield. The offensive line needs to make a little bit of improvement. They lost a ton of leadership on both sides of the ball. I mean, you look at what they lost at tight end, what they lost at inside linebacker, what they lost at corner. Just a lot of leadership that's going to be gone off that LSU team. But I think they have plenty back. They may have the best football player in the country in Grant Delpit at safety. So there's a lot to like on that LSU football team. But then I think at A&M, you're talking about an uber-talented offense. And I understand they lose the league's leading rusher. They lose a game-changer tight end in Jay Sternberger. Eric McCoy's been their best offensive lineman the last few years. He moves on. But when you've got Kellen Mond and that group of receivers and Jimbo Fisher dialing up plays, you're going to have a chance to do some good things. And I think that's a team that really does have a chance to do some special things this year. So I'll take Vanderbilt to surprise some people. I think Missouri could be the surprise team in the entire league. And then one of those three teams behind Alabama in the West has a chance to do some special things.
Ole Miss last year, you know, I was really high on them, visiting with Jordan Ta'amu during SEC media days, looking at what Ole Miss had as far as with their wide receivers. They certainly, to me, in so many ways, underperform. How much do you think it was impacted by the fact for, you know, the two-year ban of not being able to go to a bowl game? Or was it a 62-7 loss in the third game of the year against Alabama? Because I thought they left some wins out on the field last year.
A little bit of both, and then I think you combine that, too, with irresponsible coaching, to be honest with you. I thought both coordinators did that team no favors last year. I mean, that was a PPO offense. That was a pass-pass option offense. I saw numerous occasions that were second and two, third and three coming out from your own 20 where situationally you need to protect the team, not just try to put up points, not just try to get big chunks of yards, and they weren't able to do that. Defensively, playing high-risk football, blitzing, stunning, slanting, running twists all the time instead of just kind of having some sort of sense of plan-based defense. I think the two new coordinator hires are going to help a lot. And I don't really buy into this mentality that a lot of other people do, thinking that, well, one of these guys is next in line to be the head coach. I think it shows a commitment from the part of the athletic department that they're going to be behind Coach Luke for a long time. And I think when you've got two guys with head coaching experience coordinating on both sides of the ball, they understand how to coach to win a game, not just to rack up stats on their side of the football. And I think that will actually help them in game. It's kind of something you see from Kevin Steele at Auburn. He doesn't always coach to help his defensive statistics. A lot of times he's coaching to help win the game. And that was something that Malzahn had to learn when he became a head coach. So I think it'll be a better fit scheme-wise as well. I think they have enough talent at running back and receiver. You can sort of build that thing around Scotty Phillips. And then you've got Tylan Knight, who'll move around a little bit, play in the backfield, play in the slot. He can be sort of the Noel Devine for Rich Rodriguez, what he had at West Virginia at some point in time. Can hurt you down the field, can hurt you out of the backfield. And you got a quarterback that I think if you can harness him mentally and emotionally, has the skills to be able to move the ball and do some good things. Offensive line will be a work in progress. That'll be the weakness of the team early in the season. But I think going to a 3-4 is actually going to help that defense because they're a lighter group. They had guys like Kadir Shepherd playing down, taking on double teams at the line of scrimmage last year when he probably needs to be playing off the ball. And he'll get the opportunity to do that this year. But with he and Benito Jones and a couple other guys back up front, they have some talent. And I think the scheme will be a better fit for the talent that they have. So I actually think Ole Miss is going to a bowl game this year. And the schedule lines up well. The Memphis game is huge for them. It's on the road. It's week one. Set the tone. They win that one. They can be 4-0 going into Alabama. They're not going to get Alabama, but if they start 4-0, they're going to a bowl game because you still have Arkansas out there. You still have Vanderbilt out there. You still have another non-conference game out there in which you're going to be able to find a way to squeeze in two wins. And listen, the Egg Bowl is what it is. We've seen Ole Miss win that game when they weren't supposed to. And there's always a chance that they can sneak up on an A&M or an Auburn or somebody else like that. So I think if they can beat Memphis, they're going to a bowl game.
I'd like to get your take, and by the way, visiting with Cole Kubelik, a football analyst with the SEC Network, you know, with regards to maybe from a perspective in your position now, but also maybe from a player standpoint, I'm talking about Jeremy Pruitt, what he wants to do in 2 years, 3 years from now, in his very first year, he understood that he certainly does not have the talent that he wants to be able to implement on how he wants his team to run as far as offensively and defensively. Now, if you're an offensive coordinator, you're looking to score a lot of points. You're looking to make things happen. But if you also do it at the expense of tiring out a weak defense, then you're still going to get beat. And you could probably get beat by a bigger score than normal. And so you see coaches with the strategy, until they get the talent that they need, they try to make a four-quarter game into a one-half game, and in some cases even a one-quarter game as far as the fourth quarter is concerned. Your thoughts on that philosophy as you watch a program trying to get back to where it was and trying to watch a program grow to where it could be in 2 or 3 years?
You know, those philosophies are great, but you better be able to win the line of scrimmage, and that's where Tennessee has been deficient, especially offensively. And I know they didn't have a ton of guys making plays along that defensive line last year, but they have a lot of guys that played a lot of snaps that are moving on. So that should be of concern. Now, I think skill-wise, Tennessee's in pretty good shape. I think at wide receiver, I think Jared Garantano's a quarterback you can build around. If he can get protection, if he can get any sort of a running game to offset some of the things he needs to do, he can be a guy that you can build a football team around that can win a lot of games. Now, on the defensive line, you're going to have to move some guys around. You're still a little bit of a patchwork defense, not necessarily a lot of the fits that he needs to be able to run the scheme that he wants, but it's getting there. It's that's where he's going, and I think bringing in Jim Chaney only fits into to that mentality, into trying to win games the way that he wants to. Chaney can scheme, and Chaney knows how to hide his deficiencies, and he knows how to be creative in developing the run game, and he's not going to be stubborn with the run game. A lot of people think that he just turns and hands the football off, but he's very creative in how he mixes and matches the run game. I'm a big fan of his work. I'm a big fan of the way that he plans, and I think it's going to be a great addition for Tennessee. A lot of Georgia fans took it the wrong way when I stated what a big win it was for Tennessee to get him. It's not that I think it's a huge win, just that they took him from Georgia. And Georgia's going to be fine because they have the talent. But for Tennessee to be able to get him with what they're trying to do and what they have in place, getting Jim Chaney was a big victory.
We look at the Auburn Tigers, and, you know, Jarrett Stidham, at times, he looked solid when he transferred into the Auburn Tigers. At times, not so much. This year, a new quarterback will take over the reins of that offense. Does it help a lot when we look at the fact that here's Auburn returning several of their top rushers from last year to take the pressure off the quarterback position?
I still need to see the durability out of those rushers. Because Gus Malzahn's proven he's going to run guys into the ground. I mean, he's going to pick a back and he's going to go. I mean, you look at what Kerryon Johnson did and the way they ran him. You look at Trey Mason, the way they ran him. Peyton Barber, the way they ran him. I mean, that's just what he's going to do. I mean, even Cam Petway, the year that he sort of broke out, he ended up being the guy later in the year. So they're going to ride a running back. And, you know, maybe it's the D.J. Johnson kid coming in as a freshman that gets some of those carries. I think Cam Martin can be someone who offsets some of the carries, but Booby Whitlow is going to be the one that gets to go first and foremost. If he's healthy through the majority of the season, that would be big for Auburn. It'll be big for Bo Nix or Joey Gatewood, whoever wins a starting quarterback job. I think both those quarterbacks are going to play early, and if it's Gatewood that gives you more of the run threat, he may be the guy that gets the nod moving forward because he can help offset and take a couple carries off your running backs and help keep them healthy. So that's going to be an interesting offense to really watch and how it develops. They have a lot of talent back at offensive line. They have a lot of experience back at offensive line. They don't have a lot of guys that have played a lot of good football back on the offensive line. It's year two under J.B. Grimes being back at Auburn. He can get it figured out. If that group comes around, I think they can manage the quarterback situation because you have a lot two different guys with some different skill sets that can help you in different ways. Very talented receivers and capable backs and the best defensive line in college football. Those are nice things to be able to build around. So if they can just get the quarterback thing, that's why I think both quarterbacks play early, Johnny, because you can't go into that game, in my opinion, start Joey Gatewood, things go bad, be down 14, 10, or 17, and turn it over to a true freshman. On neutral site against Oregon, a top 10, top 15 team, and say, all right, kid, let's see what you got. Or start Bo Nix, and something bad happens early, and then pull him out in his first game as a true freshman in that uniform and say, we're going with the other guy. I think you go in with a plan to play both, get a feel for how both operate, what both bring to the table, and then you sort of make a decision through the course of that game. And then over the course of the next two games, which are non-conference opponents that you can beat running the ball 50 times a game, and you sort of figure it out for when you get into the Florida game.
You know, four out of the last 5 years, Auburn either 7 or 8 wins. They did have the 10 wins in 2017. The problem this year with that schedule, you know, we're talking about Oregon to start things off in the non-conference matchup in Arlington, road SEC games at Texas A&M, at Florida, at LSU, home SEC games, Mississippi State, Georgia, Alabama. If we thought that the heat was on Gus Malzahn last year, to me, I think it hurts when all of a sudden if you start talking Gus Malzahn hot seat and you see all the rumors that are coming out about potential buyouts. I mean, it hurts from a standpoint of recruiting moving forward in that situation. And you can see this schedule where all of a sudden you can envision those talks continuing this year.
It definitely hurts, but that's where you are with Auburn football right now. That's the temperature of the program. You have one portion of the booster regime that's unhappy, that wants them out. that thinks something different would be better, and you have another portion that thinks they want to let him continue to do it for whatever reason. They either like him, they either think he's capable, or they don't want to pay out his contract. So he's going to get a shot, and he's got a talented enough football team to be able to figure it out and to be able to sort of get things back on track. But the leash is not very long for him to be able to do that.